This is BPN Radio, your 24-hour internet prayer station, calling America to pray. It's time now for the Christian War Room with your host, Michael Schonborn. Now, here's Michael.
Yeah, welcome to the Christian War Room here at Seismic Radio, BPN Radio. And today I want to discuss a very interesting subject, a very disturbing subject at the same time. And the statistics I've heard is that one-third of people, that's what some psychologists have come up with, have had this experience. One version of this experience is, I'm not quite sure what the figures correct are. I've got a figure in the back of my mind. I'm not sure whether this figure is correct, so don't quote me on this and don't take this as fact. And it's always when you look at statistics, you know, who comes up with these figures, and most of them are just estimates. But it's about a tenth of the people, they've had a similar experience in the context with aliens or extraterrestrials. And you can see it, we're sort of entering dodgy land here where we are entering the surreal. What I'm talking about is something which is called sleep paralysis, or you know, when people are sleeping, that they've got some sort of experience like a so-called alien abduction. The figures are actually quite disturbing when you listen to them. I don't know, obviously, the figures I quoted to you, how precise they are, but when I heard about them, they are quite disturbing. When you listen around in your you know, in amongst friends and so on, some of these things, either the sleep paralysis plus, you know, experiencing that somebody is sitting on your chest, or that there's another entity, creature, spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, in the room and doesn't give you any peace. Yeah. When you listen around of people who have had experiences in this area, it's actually quite surprising. Yeah, and I would challenge you as well to, in your circle of friends, within your you know, your relatives, your friends, just ask around, you know, see whether people had this experience. Now, sleep paralysis, I've had it a few times myself, and it is very, very disturbing when this happens. It's a scientific explanation, and I'm going to, you know, show you some audio clips in a minute. There's also an answer to it all. The scientific explanation is that in your brainstem, there's some sort of mechanism or some sort of system trying to stop you to move around, to not outlive your dreams, you know, or live out your dreams. So you dream, you go somewhere, and the paralysis is there not to make you go there, actually. And there might be something to it. I mean, I've got a cat, yeah, or should I say the cat's got me. Anyway, a cat moved in, and when she sleeps, and I'm sure you've all seen this, yeah, suddenly you can hear her whimpering, and her little legs are moving ever so, you know, tiny little bit. And you can see this with dogs as well when they sleep and they've got some dream, and then suddenly, you know, the legs are moving and so on, but obviously only limited. Yeah. And that's the whole idea of why sleep paralysis is important, you know, not for us to go out. Now, if people start sleepwalking, they say that something has gone wrong with this sleep paralysis, or in this, you know, in your brainstem. That's what the scientific explanation is. And the people are having some sort of imbalance, and then they start moving about, and they're not all there, they're still sleeping. Right, okay, let's go a little bit deeper into the subject. Now, I'm convinced that this may well be the case, and there may be, you know, some of these instances where, you know, people are within this state and they wake up and they can't move, and it's quite a horrifying experience when something between the consciousness and this, you know, this protective mechanism in your brain, when something goes wrong in that area. But also, I'm totally convinced that there's a spiritual component to it, where people literally experience some interference from another dimension. Historically, when you go through it, it's pretty, you know, it's as long as humans have been around, they've been reporting and talking about this stuff. There are plenty of images from medieval days where this is the case, and where people have like these demons sitting on their chest and stuff like that. And that is the experience. So it's been with us for a long time. It's part of mankind, and it's there. Now, there are a couple of solutions. I'm going to anticipate some of these solutions to start off with. One of them is there's power in the name of Jesus. Yeah. There's power in the name of Jesus Christ. If you are a Christian and you are getting attacked, yeah, then I want to encourage you to bear this in mind, to call out upon the name of Jesus. And this experience will go away. You know, this spiritual entity, whatever it is, whatever spiritual entity is trying, you know, whether there are any rights or whatever, is trying to make use of these rights they've got to do some stuff in your life. You can call upon Jesus, and they have got to go away, and they will go away. And for them, it's utter torment. You know, they torment you. Why not turn it back on them? If you are not a Christian, yeah, and it's interesting as well, I've heard stories, and I'm going to play you some audio clips in a minute. I've heard stories of people who are not Christians. They're not born-again Christians, you know, living their lives, but they've heard about this stuff. And then they heard about this, you know, call out to the name of Jesus. And they did this, and this experience went away. And that was the stories I heard within the context of alien abductions. Yeah. In one instance, one guy, I mean, he was saying that he was floating above his bed, yeah, and they were about to take him into the, I don't know whether it's a virtual spaceship or a real one, but there were these things. Now, he remembered this, and he called out upon the name of Jesus, and the experience stopped. He fell back into his bed with a big thump, and his wife next to him was still asleep, and she woke up, and she told her husband to stop messing about. Why is he jumping up and down in the bed? So for him, that was proof that it wasn't just a dream or some, you know, metaphysical experience, you know, which is all happening in your head, but that this was real. Yeah. So it's quite interesting when you go through this. Again, I'm going to go through a couple of these examples. I'm going to show you where I'm not quite sure whether this guy is some sort of exorcist, whether this guy is real or not. There's a clip as well. But anyway, these entities, they freak out, you know, when they hear the name of Jesus Christ. And most importantly, you know, if you suffer this stuff, if there is some demonic entity, if there is something that has got a right on your life to move in, and this could be somewhere to do with a locality, it could be to do with sins you have committed, it could be something which has been inherited or something. What you need to do is you need to break loose from these rights, and you can do this by just, first of all, number one is, you know, repent of the things you can think of, you know, the stuff you've done wrong before God you can think of, and probably the biggest one is the first commandment of not loving the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, and all your soul. And then, you know, put your faith in Jesus Christ, that he has died for your sins at the cross of Calvary, and invite him to come into your life. Surrender your life to Jesus Christ. That is the most important thing you can do and you have to do in your life. Once you are in the right position before God and you are washed clean, your sins are covered with the blood of Christ, you are in a different position. You can still suffer off this stuff, but you suddenly are on the other side. You are in the kingdom of God, and you will have the rights to call these entities out and to tell them to go away, and to command them in the name of Jesus to go away. I think it's a very important message, this message, considering that a lot of people are suffering of it. Okay, let's listen to a couple of audio clips here, and then I'll come back right at the end, and we'll just pray about this whole thing. And again, always bear in mind, you know, this stuff is real. If you are not suffering from it, you may need to know about this, because the chances that you know somebody who is dealing with this issue are very, very high, statistically. And it's important to let them know, you know, there is a way out. This can stop. And all they need to do is to throw themselves upon the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ and walk in the authority Jesus has given us. Jesus said, you know, whatever you bound on earth is going to be bound in heaven. Whatever you loosen on earth is going to be loosened in heaven. So if these entities are there giving you a hard time, you can loosen the rights they've got to do this stuff to you. And you can bind them and move them away from you so that they've got no more rights. They've got no more rights to come anywhere near you. Okay, let's look at these audio clips.
A nightmare that has haunted thousands of people all over the world.
It felt as if there was a male presence there who was evil.
I can remember seeing this figure in the doorway. I just knew it was female.
A presence comes into the room, paralyzes its victim, then leaps on their body and assaults them.
It hits me so hard at times where it just knocks me off my mattress.
She's choking me so hard that I think that my voice box is going to collapse.
Sometimes it's a shadowy figure. Sometimes an old hag. Sometimes a demon. But whatever shape it takes, the entity, as it is often called, has concrete effects, leaving its victims battered and exhausted, their lives in pieces. Sufferers are sure that when they see it, they are awake, and it is real. Science, psychology, and religion have all grappled with this phenomenon. Can any explain the mystery of the entity? One woman has been suffering from entity attacks for most of her life. They began when she was just 5 years old.
The first thing I remember as a child at night, I had just gone to bed. My mother just put me to bed, and I could see the lights on in the living room. I had just laid down for bed. I could hear my parents. I could hear the television. And I looked up, and to my right, I saw a couple. Very shadowy, very dark in my bedroom. A man and a woman. And they started walking towards me. It's very frightening. I couldn't speak. I wanted to call out to my mother. I couldn't call out to her. I was just terrified. And right about that time, she walked into the room, and she walked, it appeared that she walked directly through the two people that were standing to my right. And I began asking her, who are these people in my room? What's going on? She kept telling me that it was just a dream, to go back to bed. And I said I wasn't asleep, it wasn't a dream. I could hear the television on in the other room. And that was the end of that.
But as Jamie got older, the entities that stalked her became more vivid and more violent, making her increasingly terrified to go to bed.
As soon as I become aware that there's someone in the room, I'll go into a paralysis, and I can't move. I can't shout out. I can't, I'm unable to call for help, and I'm unable to stop any kind of attack. Usually it's an attack. You can't move. You can't scream. Feels like you've been drugged somehow. The Shadow Man, and this is just a recent label that I've put on this character. The closest I've seen of him is the arm, because it's been around my throat several times. He's very violent. He doesn't use any caution whatsoever. He could care less if my neck is broken. I mean, that's how violent he is. Generally, he's accompanied by a very old woman. She's rather short, draped in many layers of clothing. She looks like a homeless type person. Like all of her belongings are on her. Shawl, jacket, a hat. The old woman will sit on my chest. And she's not extremely heavy, but she's heavy enough that it's very hard to breathe. It's extremely hard to breathe. I can't get my lungs to expand. He'll have me around the base of my neck. She'll come up to the top part, and she's choking me so hard that I think that my voice box is going to collapse. I can't move. He's got my arms down, usually, or just the way she's sitting on me, I can't move, and there's nothing I can do.
What makes these attacks even more frightening is that Jamie is convinced she is awake.
The fear is extremely real. You look around the room, you're looking for any way out. I can see my clock, I can see the curtains, I see everything in the room that tells me that this is real, this is happening to me, this is really happening. And I'm wondering why my husband can't hear them, why he can't hear the struggle, why he can't hear the fight. And beyond that, I'm wondering what's going to happen to me after they kill me. Who's next? Your mind and your body thinks you've been through it. But to everyone around you that you associate with, that you work with, your friends, your family, your doctors, they say it was just a dream. Just get over it.
For years, Jamie thought she was alone and feared she was mad or delusional. Then she discovered there were others who had suffered remarkably similar experiences.
I was sleeping in my bed, and there was a presence in the room.
I was paralyzed in the bed.
He seemed like a shadow.
Probably about 6 foot high.
Well over 6 foot.
Very tall.
There was something sitting on my chest.
Sitting on top of my chest.
The lady was old and haggard. She had straggly gray hair.
Kind of an old woman standing in front of me.
And there was an old lady.
This just was not a nightmare.
I know that I am awake when this happens.
Can't escape from this entity that has entered your room.
It's a feeling of perhaps the greatest terror that one can imagine.
Yeah, this is horrendous stuff. I mean, you've just heard, you know, what people are going through. And I'm sure, you know, as I mentioned before, if you ask around and you ask your friends, relatives, some people have been through the same stuff, you know, this whole experience of sleep paralysis, and then possibly sometimes just sensing that there's somebody else in the room, but they can't see it. Or sometimes they just see a bunch of shadows or some other weird manifestation. Now, the point where we are making this program is that there is an answer to it, and this answer is very straightforward. I mean, first of all, we need to realize what it is, okay? The world says, you know, this is all just happening in your mind. It's all happening inside your brain, and there's nothing you can do about it. And maybe in some instances this could be the case, you know, that it is just a bad dream, you know, something which is very vivid, very much alive, but it's not real. But it's not in all cases. In many cases, it is a demonic manifestation. Now, the Bible is very clear about this. We have got the visible world, the one we are aware of, the one we can see, but there's also a spiritual world. In the New Testament, it's sometimes called the powers of the air. It's we can sense it sometimes, you know, it is all around us. There's very often there are battles taking place around us, spiritual battles, and sometimes it impacts us in our lives here on earth. And that is very, very important to understand. You know, we are living in three dimensions, but there are other dimensions around us which we cannot see, we cannot perceive. Our senses are not giving us the ability to see and understand it. You know, you've heard the term the sixth sense or something. Maybe, you know, you can sense that something is there, but it is not visible to whatever we have. I'm an engineer, yeah, and maybe I should just make this point. I know, and I've seen it, I've experienced this, that there is a lot of stuff in and around us which we cannot see. So, for example, there's something called infrared. When you look at the light spectrum, there's just a tiny sliver of the light spectrum we can see. We know there's a lot more below the frequency range of the light we can see and above. The one below we call infrared, the one above we call ultraviolet. We know it's there, and we know it can be made visible, but with our eyes, we cannot see it. To give you one example, I was once installing camera systems with infrared lights, and I couldn't believe that they'll do anything, because we had this, you know, fancy light, and we put this massive filter in front of it, which pretty much made it invisible. So you couldn't see a thing. Yeah? So you had these 500-watt beam, light beam, and then I was putting, you know, very hot, very powerful, and then I was putting this big lens in front of it, and I couldn't see a thing. And I thought, what is the point of this? You know, why don't you just take the lens off? You can illuminate the whole place, and everything is fine. Obviously, they didn't want to do this. It was within a factory, so it could blind somebody, it could cause accidents, so they needed to make it invisible for the human eye, but visible for the camera. Now, the camera lens or the sensor in the camera was actually more sensitive towards infrared than normal light. And anyway, my boss took me back to the monitoring system, and there was telemetry installed, so we could turn the camera around remotely, and we could turn the lights on and off. And he just showed me, look at this. So he turned on the infrared light. Now, bear in mind, you know, when you are right in front of the infrared light, you can look right into it. You don't see a thing. But it lit up the whole factory. I couldn't believe it. It was just amazing. So it's just proof that even within the natural, there is a lot of stuff we simply cannot perceive. Yeah. The same with sound as well. There's something called ultrasound. Dogs and cats and things like that, they can hear it. We can't hear it, yeah, because the frequencies are far too high. So we have to have little instruments which cut down the frequency for us to make it audible. And the way it's done is it's a frequency divider, pick it up with a microphone at the higher frequency, it's divided it down, and then suddenly you can listen to animals which operate in using a sound frequency which is inaudible for us. We cannot hear it, and in doing so we can make it audible to our human ears. It's just an example from the natural world, but there's much more than this, obviously. It's not just, you know, spirits running around in infrared and we can't see them, but they are in a different dimension. Mathematically, we know there are supposedly about, I'm not a mathematician by any degree, a little bit of engineering math, but that's it. But mathematically, we know some mathematicians say that they are up to 11 dimensions. Not sure how they come to the conclusion. I just take their word for it. Spiritually, I know, sure, there are more dimensions. There are more dimensions. And these critters, entities, whatever you want to call them, they can sometimes manifest themselves into our dimension. And maybe at a time where we are most vulnerable, they can wreak havoc on us and make our lives very, very difficult. Now, there's an answer to it, and I'm going to play an audio clip. I hope we've got enough time for that. And I'm just going to anticipate a little bit. There's one guy, you know, he comes in, and he tries to pick up, you know, whether this is real or not, and he puts some sort of tape recorder there, and this entity becomes audible onto this tape recorder or recorder. I'm not quite sure what technology he's using. And he mentions the name of Jesus, and this entity is just completely freaking out. And you can hear this on this tape recorder. Again, I don't know whether this guy is a born-again Christian or not. I think what he's doing is, you know, only half the way. We have got power, we have got authority in the name of Jesus. The Bible says that whosoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. Yeah, whoever calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. And I challenge you to call upon the name of Jesus when you suffer these troubles and when it ever comes anywhere near you, and you will be saved. Yeah, you will be saved. Let me just repeat this to you again. You will be saved. And these entities have to go. They have to go. They've got no more rights to stay there. They've got no more rights to torment you. They've got no more rights to do this. You can use the authority you have in Christ to do this. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ, my suggestion to you is just to invite him into your life. You know, in Revelation, we find this image that he stands at the door and knocks, and whoever opens the door, he will come in. Yeah, and he's talking about the door of your heart. Open the door and let him come in. Let him come in into your life. Yeah, the key is repentance, just coming to the end of your tether, knowing you can't do it by yourself. You cannot please God the way you are. You need him. You need his grace. You need his help. Repentance of the willingness just to turn away from everything that is wrong. And to really, really, really go for it. Okay, let's have a look to this audio clip. We are running out of time here.
Demonology is the study of fallen angels. It's the study of things that are evil, whether it be religion, whether it be demons, devils, things of that nature. I come across cases that are malevolent, evil, demonic, or diabolical on a monthly basis. Out of a month, I may get five or six cases, you know, that are truly have activity that are evil.
Lewd
his assistant go to the hostel and meet Ted for the first time. They will interview him extensively to try and determine whether his attacks are psychological or supernatural.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you some questions. Some of them are going to be maybe a little bit personal, but it's all going to be to help you, okay? I'm not here to harm you. I'm not here to exploit you or anything else like that. I'm here to find out what's going on.
I would give anything for all these experiences that I'm going through to totally come to an end, to totally stop.
Are you currently using any illegal drugs?
No.
All right. Have you ever taken hallucinogens?
No. Nope.
This means acid, anything like that?
No. Nope.
Have you ever submitted to a sleep study?
No. Nope.
Have you been diagnosed as having any psychological ailments? Narcolepsy, Tourette syndrome, dissociative personality disorder?
No. Nope.
Nothing like that? Okay. Are you willing to get help if it turns out that what is happening to you is purely psychological?
Yeah.
After 2 hours of questioning, Lou decides that Ted's case warrants further investigation.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to remotely be watching him from another location, actually right above him. And I'm going to set up a laptop with a video camera feed that's going to be showing me video of what's going on and also audio of what's going on. And if anything does happen in here, I'll be here in the room within a matter of seconds.
Right now we're directly above Ted. I will monitor him. All of our equipment is set up. And we're waiting to see if anything happens, any movement, any kind of globules appear, okay, which are balls of light. See what happens now that we're all set up.
Ted said that something grabbed his leg. Went on video. We see his leg go. I'm going to be going down there with him. And I'm going to sit in there and, you know, see what I get on tape, because I'll be running EVPs also.
EVPs, or electromagnetic voice phenomena, are recordings of inexplicable sounds which some people believe are supernatural. It is claimed that these recordings can capture spirit voices which exist on a frequency beyond human hearing.
Since he's claiming that, you know, things were touching him before, that something actually pulled his leg, I'm going to sit by him, but I'm going to be asking some questions on the recorder and see what we get.
I've tried communicating with it, and not only did nothing happen, not only did I not receive a reply, the assaults got more intensified within about 10 minutes of asking.
Beginning of EVP, July 30th, 2001. Precisely 2:45 a.m. If there is a spirit around us now, please tell me your name on the recorder. Are you a spirit that is out of the light of God? Please release whatever has been performed on Ted. I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. End of recording.
As expected, there is no audible sound in the room. But when the scene is played back from the point of view of the recorder, an apparently different picture emerges. The tape recorder begins to register unusual sounds after each question. Then Gentili mentions Jesus.
I ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, we are coming to the end of our war room session. Bear in mind, you know, we will pick this subject up tomorrow in the next talk here at the Christian War Room, but some of the stuff that was going on here is okay. Some of it is not, but there's power in the name of Jesus. Call upon the name of Jesus and you will be saved. We'll take it up tomorrow here at the Christian War Room. God bless and bye-bye.